Hello, my name is Aoife Dean. I'm a dietitian, a hypnotherapist, and a mind coach. Today, I am all on my own. I don't have Trisha. I don't have any of the rest of my buddies. It's just me, but I kind of had a lot of ideas I wanted to share with you. You know, I struggled with my own weight. I was 3 stone heavier than I am now, which was, what was it? I was 4 dress sizes bigger than I am now, basically. And I kind of got to that high weight because I was restricting food. And with every restriction, there's a blowout. And so I basically dieted my way up to 3 stone heavier. Like at the time anyway, I didn't really feel like any of the information that I needed to know that helped me was out there. Hopefully it's different now. Maybe there's loads of stuff on Instagram and all the rest of it. But like, I kind of think actually changing and actually becoming our healthier, slim weight is very, very different. It's got different challenges than I think the ones explored online and stuff like that. I feel there's a lot of talking about nutrition, and nutrition is real, real surface level stuff, because the fact of the matter is most people are overweight because of emotional eating and also just because of, you know, life and habits and stuff like that. So you can know all the nutrition in the world, but some days it's not feasible to bulk cook. Or sometimes you are prioritizing other stuff with your time. And I think that's perfectly healthy. Like, I think when we're in diet culture, you know, we can feel like we're letting ourselves down by not having planned and prepped all our meals. And it's like, if you look at that differently, sometimes I would say it's not appropriate to put so much time into something like that. If someone or something else that you love or you're more passionate about is taking the hit on it. And so our weight is not about nutrition. Our weight is about our relationship with food. So you don't have to be eating McDonald's to get obese, and you don't need to be eating salad to be a healthy weight. So our weight is about how often we overeat. And how often we feel uncomfortable in our body. And I do think a major trend as well is feeling discomfort and putting up with it. So maybe we really do need to go to bed, but instead we struggle on and stay up. Or maybe we are very uncomfortable in our work situation, but we, rather than, like, you know, closing the laptop and going home for the day, we power on. I remember I used to do that in London. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'll just go to the vending machine, get a chocolate bar or two, and then do another 2 hours work. And then you do 45 minutes of crap work and then go home anyway. So such false economy. But I think that's another thing that I kind of blame the diet industry for, because that whole approach of no pain, no gain, obviously you're doing the right thing if you're suffering. It's like, that's literally the opposite of health. Like, health is minding yourself. Health is listening to your signals. Health is, you know, listening to what your body and your mind needs right now. So it's kind of the opposite of perseverance. And I think there's a little bit of a gender difference there too. I know I've worked with more guys who can really kind of enjoy the no pain, no gain approach. But I really feel like sensitive, emotional guys or guys in touch with their emotions, and most women, we are more the joy is in the journey creatures. So us powering through discomfort will always have a backlash. So if we're having an uncomfortable day emotionally or physically, and we just keep it going, there's going to be a backlash there of eating even more stuff, trying desperately to find comfort. So one thing that I realized for myself, and I hope this really helps you as well, you know, obviously we can be in a place where we genuinely want to do something about our weight. And I think there's nothing at all wrong with that. In fact, I really kind of despise, well, I won't say despise, but from what I know of the intuitive eating community, I've got in trouble before for using the word intuitive, which I think is really unfair. You shouldn't be able to, like, ring fence a word. But that community feels that you should never really have the aim of weight loss. And as someone who had binge eating disorder and was 3 stone heavier because of binge eating disorder, someone telling me that I could never be slimmer would be like telling an alcoholic he should never look forward to a life without hangovers. Like, my disordered relationship with food was causing my extra weight. So of course I'm entitled to not want the extra weight because it's a reflection of my bad relationship with food. But like I was saying there, basically, when I was in this disordered eating place, but I did genuinely want to be lighter and slimmer and move forward to that kind of place in my life, basically. One thing I realized, and maybe it did help being a dietitian with this one and working with other people and, you know, seeing other people's way of eating, what helped, what didn't, etc. I realized for me that there's literally no worse diet, in my opinion, than someone who's trying to be good, breaks out and is bad. Trying to be good, breaks out, is bad. You know, that endless cycle every week. Because the thing is that, like, you know, basically when we're trying to be good, we're eating foods on someone else's terms. We're basically eating something for non-intuitive reasons. We're eating something because we heard this is good for us. This keeps us fuller for longer. This is good for weight loss. This is good for all these things. And the more dieting information we're listening to, the more we're tuning out about what this is doing to our body. Like, what is our physical experience as we're eating this? Because really, a food that counts is one that you can be present when you're eating it, and it's a memorable, positive experience, and you're feeling well as you're eating it, and you feel better physically and maybe hopefully emotionally and mentally too, because you ate it. And just when we're in that kind of diet zone or controlled eating or disordered eating, like I said, we're eating for non-intuitive reasons, non-connected, non-embodied reasons. So there's not much enjoyment. And I think that kind of eating then, it tends to lead to like someone leaving all the foods that they really, really love at arm's length, like trying to stay away from them, but instead consistently picking on mediocre foods kind of all day and all week long. So like, I remember in the place I used to work, we used to put out almonds and Brazil nuts for the clients. I was eating them all. And then I had all these like filler foods like protein bars and chicken salads. And it was like I was terrified of hunger, to be honest. And that's what the scarcity mindset of dieting does to you. And, you know, I was doing all that. I was staying full all day with all these filler foods. There was another snack I could have at any given time, you know, something else, quote unquote, good. And then I still wasn't satisfied because they weren't my foods per se. So, you know, Friday night after a few drinks and then probably all day Saturday or Sunday, or for some reason or some stress or some tiredness, I'd break out and eat all the stuff I actually wanted access to, or binge those foods or whatever. So like I said, it was like I was keeping my calorie intake high from nonstop picking of good foods. And then on top of that, then there was the spikes in calories from the binges and the breaking out as well. And it's kind of like all of it was so misguided because, like I said, I wish I knew that like nutrition and weight are not the same topics. You can get fat on anything. Like basically keeping a high weight or getting more overweight comes with kind of staying eternally full. That you're always kind of full. So like you're sitting down to dinner and you're not remotely hungry and you eat it anyways. And it leads to such a bottomless pit kind of feeling, because it's kind of like if we're not hungry sitting down to something, well, then we'll never really feel full and satisfied. You know, it's kind of like you need morning to know nighttime. And if we're always just blah, if we're always just like fed, well, then it's kind of like nothing has any joy in it. Nothing has any juice in it. And that's all to do with kind of neurotransmitters in our brain and stuff like that. Like I said, our brain and our body will reward us for eating if we need food. But if we don't need food, it's just kind of diminishing returns. And you've probably been there, you know, that mood where you're like, oh, maybe I want cheese and crackers, and you have them and they don't work. And then you're like, okay, maybe I want jellies, they don't work. Maybe you want crisps, maybe you want a toast sandwich, maybe. And you just keep going around the house, picking cupboards and in the fridge, see what else is there to try and get comfort. And this is the one little overlap I think we have with anorexics, because anorexic's stomach will be saying, I'm hungry, please feed me. And their brain and mind will be like, oh, you don't mean that. You're not really hungry. And our brain is telling us, or our body is telling us, dude, like the moment is over. Like, you're fed. You've got all the comfort from food. Your belly is fed, like you're satiated now. And we're like, I don't think it means that. I think I just need to find something else that would work. And it's like, nothing's going to work. The shop is closed for the day. Come back again tomorrow when your body has burnt that off or made more room for new food. And it's like, we really have to accept that. Another thing that became very clear to me is that health issues and weight issues come from a surplus. So it's like, chocolate doesn't cause obesity. Eating like too much of any food will cause obesity. And so basically it's kind of like, I realized that literally what was the worst case scenario of me saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to have my dream day with food. I'm going to have my dream breakfast. I'm going to have my absolute dream lunch and my absolute dream dinner. And for every one of them, I'm going to, like, you know, wait till I get hungry before it so I can have just the most perfect, awesome experience. So, like, if you even play that game in your head of, like, realistically, okay, tomorrow your ideal breakfast, then the fullness of that wearing off, getting hungry and having your ideal lunch, etc. It's like, whatever calories that would contain, that is not going to be as much calories as constantly picking and snacking on good foods all day. Plus, then you also have to account for the inevitable breakouts and binges because you're not happy with your diet. So being happy with our diet is a huge calorie preventer. So, you know, as in, like I said, if you're really happy with your lunch or something and it's a bit of a one and done situation, like you're full, it was gorgeous, it was so pleasant, you actually don't want to change the taste in your mouth after it because it was so nice, and actually your belly and your body feels lovely, well, then it's kind of like, that I would say is a kind of, you know, appetite suppressant meals, whereas I've been on diets where, you know, you're having the white fish or the boiled veg or steamed veg or whatever. And I would call them, for me, sometimes an appetite stimulating meal, because I am going to be picking and grazing and whatever else all evening after it. Plus, like I say, the inevitable binge or overeating because I've had days or meals that I wasn't happy with. So, like, it's really important to just go for the absolute bullseye, like the absolute bullseye of what would be tasty. What can I really imagine myself getting up from the table and feeling well afterwards? Because there is a difference between our body and our mind, especially if we've been dieting and controlling and restricting. Because, you know, your mind, the first thing that I might come up with as you're hearing this will be like, ha ha, now's my chance. Right. So I'm just going to, like, get a takeaway and order like four things and eat them all. But then when you kind of pose the question of, like, would I be getting up from the table or the couch feeling well after that? It's kind of like, maybe you wouldn't. So it's like, really, the trick is that realizing that life is short, you deserve to feel good now. Like, you deserve to use food to feel good now. And your ability to do that will probably lead to correcting your weight or stabilizing your weight or whatever word you want to use with it. But generally, someone who's not enjoying their diet, who feels guilt, shame, like is over planning, over analyzing, overthinking, that's going to lead to a weight problem. And in most cases, it leads to an overeating and overweight weight problem. So, like, if you're kind of thinking about, like, okay, I do want to feel well after my food, I want to use food today as a positive place in my day, I want to make positive memories with food. And I was just came across some study there about how we eat with how if we eat more often with other people, we tend to have a better diet and we'd tend to have a better relationship with food. So I think that's important as well. Like, are there loved ones or friends that you could meet up with today? Like, say, maybe you could go to a coffee shop around lunchtime and maybe your body's in the mood, not for a sandwich or soup, but maybe your body's in the mood for today's lunch is going to be like a cappuccino and a slice of cake. And you can imagine having a really good chat with your friend, and you can enjoy all of that being very pleasurable and enjoyable. But also you can imagine getting up from the table, walking back to your car and having a lovely belly feeling, like it wasn't too much, you didn't overeat it. And I honestly see that as training, like as in every time you can act normal with something that you previously deemed bad food or a fear food or would have sent you off on a spiral, like that is integral to becoming slim. Practicing eating those foods like a normal person. I don't mean to be rude saying a normal person. I hope that makes sense to you. That's the word that I used to use for myself. I just wanted to be normal, and I kind of maybe wanted to be like my skinny friend who can eat everything. But like just being normal, like as in you have a cake, the cake was gorgeous, you get up from the table feeling well, and you move on with your day. Like as in that has literally nothing to do with what you eat next. And you know, you just continue to listen for the day. So as in, what time do you get hungry later then? And what beautiful thing could you have that would also taste well and feel well? And you know, when I'm saying all this, your mind is probably worried like, okay, then I just have like the junkiest diet ever. Well, in terms of feeling good, as again, have you ever had those days or those weeks where you've only ate junk? Like as in, I don't know, does anyone physically feel good after them? Like I really don't think so. Like I've literally never ever worked with someone who feels amazing after a tub of Pringles. You'd want to be like exceptionally hungry or starved or something to eat a lot of junk in one go and still feel super well in your belly and in your body and in your energy levels. So that's always the big T's and C's. Like you're eating with a positive intention. You want food to become a positive in your life. So it's like, what can I fit in that would taste well, be memorable, and I'd feel well after? So that was a very, very different way of looking at things for me. And basically my reasoning was, well, what have I got to lose? Like me controlling food or trying to be good one half of the week and then breaking out and being bad. Like I said, it wasn't doing me any favors in terms of my weight. It wasn't pleasurable in any way because I was denying myself food when I was around loved ones. And then, you know, cupboards open on my own, eating a load of shit in private. And it's kind of like, so like on no level was that approach working, like socially, emotionally, physically, like literally no level. So what had I got to lose by saying, okay, tomorrow I'm going to design the most amazing day with food. Like it's so memorable. I'm going to feel so well and it's going to be so to my liking. So I kind of even made up this story that like if I was the queen of the world and the world's existence depended on my happiness tomorrow, like me being absolutely satisfied and delighted with my food tomorrow, what would I be eating? And it's just quite a fun way to look at it. Another thing that I think you need to prepare yourself for if you're interested in becoming a healthy weight or becoming slimmer, whatever, long term, is you're going to need to accept that between now and your ideal weight and happily ever after, say between now and your ideal weight, you're probably going to like overeat or be overfull, you know, between 200 and 2000 times between now and your ideal weight. So per time is an opportunity basically of how are you going to deal with that? And also at your ideal weight, there's still going to be, you know, times that you overeat, like a lot of times, like you're human, like it's, you know, a normal physiological feeling to feel overfull. And it's also normal to sometimes overeat. So, you know, yeah, we know when we're cold, you should put on a jumper. We know that whole system, but it doesn't mean we're never going to be cold for the rest of our lives. So we kind of have to accept the feeling of having eaten too much as a kind of normal feeling that comes about every so often. So, you know, yet again, I think nothing is luck, everything is practice. So you have to practice not freaking out. Like if you wake up on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning and you're absolutely bursting at the seams because you ate so much, which feels maybe real old energy, it maybe feels really like what you used to in your worst disordered eating days, it doesn't matter. Like it's always about where are you now this minute and what do you want next? Like, we always have to keep pulling ourselves back to that, because you have a choice. Like, you have a choice to do the usual. The usual is you freak out that you're over full. You freak out that you overate. You freak out that you ate a lot of chocolate or sweets. And it's like, okay, cool. What's that going to cost you? Like, what are going to be the repercussions? Because, you know, yet again, if we kind of look at that crossroads of, say, a normal person, like I was talking to a client today and I was like, okay, a normal person wants chips for lunch. They eat chips for lunch, one and done, fine, happy, move on with it. Say, if we're still in that disordered eating diet culture mindset where it's like, shit, I ate chips. I shouldn't have been eating chips. Why did I eat so much chips? What's wrong with me? It's like, what is the likelihood like that you're going to eat more calories after that? Like, really, really high, because now you've gone into your head rather than staying in your body. So your body might be perfectly satiated after the chips. The chips might have tasted well. Your belly might be full. End of. Whereas when you go into the story of, why did I do that? What's wrong with me? Am I in a bad phase? Maybe I've ruined today. Maybe I've ruined this week. It's like the only possible outcome of that chat with yourself is eating more afterwards. So it's like when you think of like your game plan for the future, like I said, if between now and your ideal weight, you're going to overeat, say 200 or 2000 times between now and then, each time, do you want it to be the solo calories of the thing you overate? Or do you want it to be the calories of what you overate plus the freakout calories? And that makes a big, big difference over time, like a huge difference, because I think it's important as well to keep seeing it as you don't try and lose weight. You just stop doing the things that's keeping up your weight. And that's certainly one of the things that we do that keeps up our weight. So it's kind of like, I always think that the thing we ate was fine. It's everything we eat after we decided, ah, well, I've ruined it now, might as well be hung for a sheep as a lamb. It's everything you eat after you've judged yourself or the day or the meal as a failing. That's what causes a weight problem. Because if you didn't judge the thing as a failing, you could just get on with your day. You could just get on with your morning. And even if your belly did feel a little full, so what? That wears away. You know it wears away. You've gone from over full to not over full before. And so we have to kind of almost practice staying calm in that situation, that being over full doesn't mean we've ruined anything at all. Like, being over full just means our belly saying, yeah, still hold your horses now. I'm still chewing up, you know, the last thing you gave me. So maybe don't add anything in on top of it. That's all it means, basically. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's a big difference. And then that's a bit of an ongoing challenge. Like, I think another thing with behavioral changes, it's not linear. So, you know, even I was talking to a client this morning and she's been in a really, really good place. And then she overread over the weekend, but it's like same rules apply. You know, we have to see this as like the best sailors learn on the roughest seas. Your ability to be in an old situation and react differently is everything. So maybe, you know, thousands of mornings in our life, we've woken up after overeating last night. So it's an old situation. But now you decide to react differently. Now you decide to be like, I still have a right to feel good today. And also, I didn't do anything that weird. It's not as if, you know, I'm the only person who overate in Ireland last night, or, you know, no one has ever eaten that amount of food, or you couldn't eat that amount of food and be slim. Like, all of that is BS. Or, you know, even kind of telling yourself, I wouldn't eat that much if I was slim. It's like, that's not even true. Like, your stomach capacity isn't going to change. So, you know, really calling BS on all of that, and then just being like, right, okay, physically, how do I feel? How do I want to feel next? So sometimes I use the kind of comparison that, like, if you wore the wrong shoes yesterday, now this morning, your feet are screwed. You know, you could give out to yourself. You could say, what's wrong with me? You could say, don't you know better? When are you going to get it right? Or you could just wear different shoes and make your feet comfortable. So it's the same with your belly. If your belly is a little sore, if it's a bit bloated, if it's a bit overfull, like, be nurturing, be loving, be caring to yourself and your body, and do whatever you can do to help that feeling go away, you know? So whether it's drinking ginger tea or peppermint tea or, you know, green tea, or going for a walk, or going for a lie down, or, you know, saying, okay, belly, I'll let you tell me when I'm hungry next, you know, just giving it a little bit of rest, like letting it get through the backlog now, and then having something wonderful waiting for you once you're hungry again. Like, that's something we have to practice, that whole non-judgment, moving forward, no freak out, no catastrophe. That's kind of definitely going to be an integral part of not just letting go of a weight problem, but also keeping one away. So I suppose that's a lot of information for one monologue. I could keep going. I really, really could. And I hope this episode has been very, very helpful for you. And I kind of think, I know it sounds corny. I know it sounds super, super corny. But if your dream is to be a bit slimmer or to be a few sizes down, I wouldn't give up on it. You know, everything is figure outable, as Marie Forleo says. So it's like you just need to find your unique mix. And that's why, like, the sooner you bow out of diet culture, the better, because your appetite suppressant meals and your appetite stimulant meals aren't like anyone else in the world. And the, you know, when your belly will get hungry next, there's not an expert on the planet that could tell you that. Do you know what I mean? So really focus on you figuring out what makes you feel well and really studying. It's quite a fun research project. Really study your kind of one and done meals, the meals that when you have them, you feel so happy and full and like satisfied that you genuinely don't need to pick and graze, or meals that are so worth waiting for that you're genuinely excited about that you don't need to pick and graze all morning before them or all afternoon before them. So I hope those tips help, and I'll be speaking to you in another episode. Mwah. Hi, thank you so much for listening. I wonder, could you do me a massive favor and maybe subscribe to this podcast, or and click rate and review and rate the podcast. It would help me hugely, and would also help get it in front of people who might need a bit of support with their eating and weight. So thank you so much. Mwah.